Psalm 116, verse 17. Please stand to your feet if you're able this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Now let's read together, please. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for this great day that we do celebrate to give thanks to you. Because God, you truly need to be thanked. We've heard it sung about today. We've sung about it. We're going to hear it preached this morning. You are a great God and worthy of our thanks. Now, Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would get that settled. Help them today. Help our preacher now as he comes and preaches. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now this morning, I want to say as a disclaimer to the message, at least the beginning of it anyhow, our church almost 30-some years ago, we've been the same pastor here for 32 years, started to a little tradition in our church. This is very irreverent. I'm not a reverend anyway, so that's okay. Bible says holy and reverend is his name, so don't ever call me reverend. That's not my name. That's not my title. But we goof around a little bit with this just to have a little fun and sort of get our minds and hearts ready for Thanksgiving, which to me is maybe the biggest holiday of the entire year. You say, why? Do you need to ask? People keep saying, Pastor, don't do that. That doesn't look right. Too bad. I worked hard on this. Actually, I do. I have an ab cruncher, and I found out I was doing it backwards. So I got a six-pack going up my back, but it's pushed it all out in the front. So now, folks, Thanksgiving is a time to get together and thank God. But it's also a time, now understand, it is a time to enjoy a delicious meal. All diets are off. Whatever you're doing, you got to quit that. If you go into this thing having eaten carrot sticks, you're going to be in trouble. You'll probably go into tryptophan shock, and they'll have to drag you off to the hospital. You'll spend your whole Thanksgiving in the ER. So go ahead and now start. You say, but Pastor, you're talking like kind of like gluttony or something, isn't it? No. Every year I have to teach you the Bible on this. Gluttony is overeating by accident. What I'm talking about is doing it on purpose, and whatsoever thy hand findeth, put it in thy mouth. That's what the Bible says somewhere. And so we're talking about the meal. Now, you kind of get ready for it. You know, I do. When I walk down the aisle in the grocery store, there's those frozen birds wrapped in plastic. I can already smell the roast turkey. There's just something about the aroma of roast turkey. You know, you wake up in the morning on Thanksgiving, and they've already got the turkey going in the oven. So you wake up to the aroma of turkey. There's something about roast turkey. I don't know what it is. I smell roast chicken, roast beef, roast everything else. There's something about roast turkey. I'm not sure what it is, but it's very appealing. And then you find out that they have put a ham in the same oven with the turkey. So you've got the aroma of roast turkey and the aroma of baking ham. Good ham now, not that cheap canned junk. We're talking of Virginia ham that's been sugar cured. And then you find out why you got two nostrils, one side for turkey and one side for ham. You kind of get yourself ready. You get sort of the day stirred up in your mind about what you're going to do. You got to prepare and eat in advance. I recommend a pizza at night for 4 days and then brush your teeth with a Snicker bar. So you kind of get ready for what's happening here. So you get up in the morning, you kind of get going. Now, can I ask you a question? Well, what is the deal with the meal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You know, any end of the meal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, 8, 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, breakfast, noons, lunch, dinners, 5, 6 o'clock. And then we have Thanksgiving meal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to sit around all day waiting for this stuff. Why don't we have it at breakfast? That way you can get some serious eating done for the rest of the day. Something like that. I don't know, 4 o'clock. And let me also say this to you. Knock off messing with the tradition of turkey. This is not time to eat a tofu turkey. They call them, what do they call it? Tofurkies. It wiggles. Turkey's not supposed to wiggle. You see, but it's good for you. It wiggles, people. He wiggled before he went in there, not afterwards, okay? And don't give me the stuff about free-range turkey. I always get a free-range turkey. What do you do, get the bird's hopes up? He's going to walk around eating a few grasshoppers? You're going to cut his head off and eat him like you're going to do the other guy. So what difference does it make whether he lives in a cage and lives on steroids? I mean, come on. You're giving the turkey a chance? What are you giving him, a few days of mercy? And then he's going down like the rest of them. Just get you a turkey, okay? You want fresh, you want frozen, you thaw out, you want organic, you want a free-range turkey. I'm telling you, if you could see the face on the free-range turkey, he'd be just as disappointed as the other guy because he got the same action as the other one because they cut his head off, pulled his guts out, ripped off his feathers, and you're going to eat him too. Thank you. So now, to go through the day, if you have to wait till 4 o'clock, at least have snack items out. Salami. So that's not good for you. What are you worried about? I mean, the salami is going to be the deal breaker? Little smokies, those little sausage deals in the barbecue sauce, all kinds of different cheeses, cut up, crackers, vegetables, yeah, whatever. And dips and things like that. Oh, chili cheese dip. Can I get a witness on chili cheese dip? Now, that kind of stuff, and olives that you put one on each finger, so when you sit there, you just kind of pull them off like that. And you snack through the day that just sort of keeps you going. Maybe you get a sandwich or, you know, go to Popeye's and get some spicy chicken at lunch or something. If you have to wait till 4 o'clock, I suppose that's what it works. Now, when it comes to the meal, first of all, let me just say this for all the men in the room to you ladies. We don't care about the decorations. We don't care if you put little paper turkeys with everybody's name on it as their marking place. We don't care. We're not going to even notice it. You're going to buy those little nice napkins that nobody gets to use any other time of the year. I do appreciate the two-fork thing. You got the short fork and you got the long fork. Okay, the short fork is for the weak hand. The long fork is for the strong hand. So, you know, it's a salad fork. No, it isn't. It's the short one. That way you can shovel them on. And then if this arm gets tired, you got the backup to go with that one. So I got that part of it. But all the rest of it doesn't make any sense. And now here's the other problem. You set the table, and you always set the beautiful table with the thing and the flowers and all the stuff, everything on there. First of all, no salad. Leaves. Seriously? With a light vinaigrette on a Thanksgiving meal? That is a waste of time. Don't put leaves on the table. If you want to put them on there for decoration, spray them and shellac them and put them in the middle with the other stuff. But there's no point in having a salad. What is the point of having a salad? What, you want to eat healthy? I mean, there's no point at this now. The other issue I have is the plate. See, you put those things with the plate under the plate. Usually there's a red thing under there or a gold thing or a silver thing under there. That's San Diego Chargers. Yeah, there's a charger underneath that. And then they give you this little squirrely plate. But here's the deal. Now watch me. Here's what I don't understand. Hold still. Then the turkey gets this one. Now, folks, the turkey doesn't care. It's dead. You could put him on a 2x4. He would not complain. Or she, depending on whether it's a tom or a hen. But here's the deal. Why does the turkey get the best plate? This is what we should be eating off of. It's got a little well in it to hold like 4 pounds of gravy and potatoes and things like that. You don't even have to make an extra trip. You can just get one load and you're done right here. So what's the deal with the plate? I don't understand the turkey getting a good plate. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then they give me those little plates. Now, I'll tell you what to do with the little plate here in just a minute. But the truth is, see, you get it all set up. Now, the meal is being prepared. You've got mashed potatoes. You always have to have mashed potatoes. Enough mashed potatoes to fill the trunk of a 56 Chevy. You got to have a lot of mashed potatoes. Then you got sweet potatoes. Maybe you make sweet potatoes where you steam them and you mash them. And you put, like, pecans and butter and things like that in there. And then you put the marshmallows on top of it and do one of those. That's good. Or you can do yams where you put them in a bowl. You put the brown sugar, cinnamon, apples, pecans, and things in there. Then put that works too. If you're going to have salad, then have Jell-O salads. Those Jell-O salads shaped like a mold or a bird or something like that that are usually layered. You got the red and the white and the blue because it's patriotic. And then the cram, that works too. If anything's going to wiggle on the table, the Jell-O thing can wiggle. That's perfectly right. Not the turkey. Then you break out the ham. Oh, that sugar-cured honey glazed, brown sugar glazed ham. It's got, you cut the, they cut the crisscross patterns in the fat. and they put pineapple slices in there with a maraschino cherry in there. And then they stick cloves all around it that look like terrorists caught by the Marines out in the desert in Iraq where they zapped him with a helicopter. You know, kind of one of those jobs. He got those on there. Like everything's braked up. Oh, it's ready to go. And then you got breads. Now, there's something about those little nasty brown serve rolls that only come out at Thanksgiving. You eat them after that. They're disgusting. For some reason, you know, I'm talking about, you got the little separation thing in it where you can pull it apart and put a half a stick of butter in between each one of those legs and put it over there. That works. Or yeast rolls, whatever the case. So you got to, oh, and then you got to have cranberry sauce shaped like a can. That works really good. Now, to drink, you have Diet Coke. Because that nullifies all the stuff you're about to eat. So it kind of zeroes all of that out. So you put all of it together, you put it on the table, you get it ready to go. Now everyone gathers around the table, they call you in there, you pray. And somebody's dumb enough to ask the guy to pray last year, this year who prayed last year, who hadn't prayed since last year, Uncle Joe. And he starts with one of these religious prayers, you know, oh, thou God of God of gods and God of gods and God. Or those people who say, now we're all going to sit down, the food's on the table. We're all going to sit down. We're going to go around the table until everyone's going to say what they're thankful for. What is wrong with you? You know, I don't care if somebody's thankful for their hamster. I don't care. It really doesn't matter. You say, well, Pastor, it's a time to be, then do it before the meal. Once you get the food on the table, there's basically one direction we're headed here, and the direction is to eat. So here's the Thanksgiving prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you. Amen. That's good enough right there. You want to do some serious praying? Get up in the morning and pray. Then you get yourself ready and then you go. So then you get around the meal and then the guy prays and goes on and prays for everybody in China by the first name. And, you know, it takes forever to get all that done. Then you sit down, you get the meal out, you make your plate, you get it all ready to go. You make yourself a little reservoir over here on the platter now of mashed potatoes. You put the gravy over there with the turkey innards in it. And then you got your stuffing, good stuffing, cornbread maybe, or bread stuffing, or maybe the good Italian sausage stuffing. That's a good one. You take that, you get your ham sliced off your turkey, whether it's white or dark. Myself personally, yes, I like both. And you get a piece of that, you run it down to that turkey and gravy, pass the stuffing, and you bring it up and you put it in your mouth. And your back taste buds get Pentecostal on you and start having a hallelujah fit. And you're glad to eat it. Now, when do you stop eating? The question is often asked, how much is too much? Well, the question is, it used to be when you can no longer reach the table because your belly pushes you back, you're done. However, since we live in America, they now have these things. So it adds another 2 servings at least to get one of those guys up there. Well, or you can't see across the table or your ears are ringing, one or the other. So when you finish, you get up and you go into the living room. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you sit down into the living room over there, that's what you want one of these for, because then you can just lay the remote right there. And if you got enough chins, you don't even have to use your hands. You can use one of your chins to change the channel while you're laying there. Kind of, you know, you're breathing a little shallow, and then you're finished eating, and someone says, time for dessert. Well, they clean the table off, and you go back to the table. It's dessert time. Then they break out all the pies, the stuff you'll buy tonight at the auction. They break out all the pies. You got pumpkin pie. Apple pie. You got Dutch apple pie. You got chocolate pie. You got mincemeat pie. You got cheesecake. You got cherry pie. You got any kind of pie. Hey, I took math in school. When they said pi r round, I quit it. When they said pi r squared, I quit math. Everybody knows pi r round. Everyone knows that. And so you get it, and you go over there, and then the little plate they try to make you eat lunch off, that's a dessert plate. See, it's about that big. That's perfect. You put a slice of each thing on that plate and make yourself a little pie of all the different ones. They bring out the ice cream and those little half square ice cream containers with the paper on them. You just unfold it and throw it right on top, hit it with a little whipped cream, then you go back, and that's what this is for. Then you can lay there and eat your dessert while you're finishing it. Then about an hour and a half later, someone says sandwiches, and they've cleaned the table off. They bring the turkey slice back with the ham. They bring out white bread and mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip, nasty stuff. Don't go with the olive oil stuff either. Just get mayonnaise. Really, what are you trying to help yourself with? And you make yourself a sandwich with some Fritos and a glass of milk, and about 10 o'clock that night, you have pizza. George Washington declared the first day of Thanksgiving in the United States of America. He declared it because he wanted our nation to be thankful. Please listen. And when Washington's, you can read it, Washington's Proclamation of Thanksgiving was all about thanking God for blessing our nation to come together as a nation. It was specifically to thank God. Right about the middle of the Civil War, maybe America's greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, declared a national day of thanksgiving, not at the end of the war, but right in the middle, that through all of that and the tens of thousands of Americans killing tens of thousands of Americans, Lincoln wanted this nation to be thankful that we were at least preserved until that point. So Lincoln made a declaration of thanksgiving, and it was to thank God. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, just before World War II broke out, made it the last Thursday of the month after a little protest because he changed the day, made it the last Thursday of the month. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted America to thank God for blessing us as a nation. Now we make proclamations of thanksgiving from the White House and they don't even want to talk about God. Why did we leave him out? Last time I checked it, this is still one nation under... I think so. I think a lot of Americans have forgotten that. We've become a secular nation now. We're a secular nation. Oh, well, we just do what... No. We're a secular nation now. No, we're still a God-blessed nation this morning. And the children of... I said we're still a God-blessed nation this morning. Okay, just in case you missed that part. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, here in the psalmist statement of Psalm 116, verse 17, David, the great psalmist, said, I will offer unto God the offering of thanksgiving. See, the Jews had a list of offerings they brought to the temple. All sorts of things. Some required, some voluntary. Some were necessary. Some were offerings they had to bring every year. Some were offerings they brought and they were required to obtain the forgiveness of God and to show their repentance. But they had one offering. It's under the peace offering listing, and it's called the thanksgiving offering. And they brought that offering, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. And they simply brought this offering of thanksgiving, as it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. David isn't just talking about being thankful. He's talking about, I go to the temple and I offer our tabernacle in his day. I go to the tabernacle and I offer thanksgiving to God because I want to be a thankful person in my life. So it is thanksgiving. And thanksgiving isn't just about a meal and a season and a holiday. It is something that's supposed to be a part of our lives. Listen now. Every day of our life, the day after Thanksgiving, and any other day that goes along. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the Bible says. Thankful always for all things. It should be a part of our lives. Yet I don't know about you, but I find myself not as thankful as I ought to be. There's something our Jewish friends taught us about this offering of thanksgiving that helps us today, and I believe can help us to know how to be more thankful in our lives. You see, they didn't have to bring that one. And it was an offering that didn't require an animal. It was meal and bread and oil and things that were brought, and it was prepared there where they brought it, and then they were required to eat it while they were there. They couldn't leave any because the next time they came, they would have to bring another offering. So it was a voluntary offering, but it was something that was to be done over and over and over again in their lives. From the Thanksgiving offering this morning of the Jews, let's learn this. Thanksgiving should be our desire. The Jewish Thanksgiving offering was not required. It was from the desire of their heart. What was their desire? They just wanted to tell God, thank you. You ever realize all the passages in the Bible about giving thanks? We can see that it's commanded. God commands us to say thank you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what's called the imperative mode. It's required. If I'm not a thankful person, something's not right between me and God. But in all the statements about thankfulness and giving thanks in the Bible, listen, there's not one passage that tells us how. It just tells us to do it. Because it should be the desire of our hearts. Did you thank him for anything today? I heard a statement once that said this. What if you woke up tomorrow morning and all you had in your life is what you thanked God for the day before? What would you have? We got people dislocating their shoulders, patting themselves on the back for the things that they have, or taking everything that they have for granted. Like, well, after all, I worked for that. Who gave you the health? And who gave you the job? And who gave you the opportunity? And who blessed your efforts? And who took care of you? See, we've forgotten something. You see, we shouldn't have to be told how to be thankful, because it should be the desire of our heart that we have something for which we are thankful. And everyone does. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, be honest with you, I don't have a lot to be thankful for this morning. That statement coming from our lips should cause us great conviction. Because yes, you do. If you stop and think, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Last Sunday we talked to you about what you ought to be thankful that didn't happen. Sometimes that's a good thought. I didn't have a real good week. Well, there's a lot that didn't happen this week then that could have. There is a lot that did happen that you should have. Oh, folks, look at me. Thanksgiving season is the fall of the year. Isn't God doing his most beautiful work right now? Do you ever thank God you have sight to see it with? And then when he puts those beautiful trees against that azure blue sky, don't you get it? That's not just an accident of evolution. That's the actual creative work of God who made this for us to appreciate the fact that yes, the leaves are going to fall, but till they do, there is this momentary brush of beauty that he puts across his creative work. We see that. Do you see it? Are you thankful just for this? Just for this. Well, it means it's going to be cold and then the rain's going to come. Well, we need that too. But just for that, just for the moment of seeing the beauty of his colors. Oh, my soul. And then every now and then you get a little cloud on the horizon, east or west side. And the sun rises, sunset, and God takes his brush of omnipotence and washes across the sky. The beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. Don't you understand? There's always something to be thankful for. You swing your leg over the side of the bed, my friend, and you get up out of bed, you ought to thank God for that. You got a bed to get out of, thank God for that. You got a roof over your head, you ought to thank God for that. You see, it should come from the desire of our hearts. When we find ourselves unthankful, it should be convicting to us. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, your wallet, and a few coins of spare change, you are among the 8% of the wealthy of this world. So I don't have that kind of money. No, I didn't say how much. You have a few bucks in your pocket, a few coins in your pocket, you are a part of the 8% wealthy in this world today. You woke up this morning with more health than illness, and you're more blessed than the million people who did not live the week out. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, or the horrible pangs of starvation, you are luckier than you're more blessed than 500 million people on this planet today. 500 million people. And if you can read today, there's 3 billion people on this planet who wish they had the same privilege you did, because they can't read anything. Yeah. So you're trying to make me feel bad for not being thankful. No, I'm trying to help you understand it should come from the desire of our hearts. We've got to stop and realize something, ladies and gentlemen. We are a greatly blessed people. Greatly blessed people. Oh, yes, we are a greatly blessed people. And there's so many things about our lives. Yes, there are things that we wish were not there. And yes, there are things that happen to us in our life. We're in Southern California this week. We're seeing our seventh grandchild. Then driving from San Diego back up to the side of Los Angeles. Yeah, I was very thankful. I don't live down there. Thank God I don't live down there where your life is controlled by traffic and all the stuff that goes on. You have to get on the 33 to get on the 210, to get on the 5, to get on the 10, to get back on the 133, to get over on the 410, to get on the 405, to get over on this place, and that's to go 4 miles. Last time we had a traffic jam in the radio, it's because a log truck tipped over downtown. I mean, think about it. People, there's stuff to be thankful for. Yes? You see, now listen to me. That should be the desire of our hearts. That when a Jew brought a thanksgiving offering, he was saying, I want to do this. I want to say thank you to my God. Then there's the design of thankfulness. You see, there was a requirement in the offering. You had to bring a certain kind of flour, meal, pure, of course, and olive oil, etc. It had to be done a certain way. So in other words, you didn't just show up and say, well, I'm going to thank him my way. You had to do it the way God told you to. So to follow it, he would follow the design that God gave him. But that means this. Look, He'd have to take and put some items together. He'd have to make sure he had the right items for the offering to bring it to the temple. There was a specific design to the thanksgiving of it. Say, well, it's not genuine if it's forced, Pastor Johnson. No, that's not true. I know we think that when people are appreciative and say thank you to us, I know we think, boy, thank you for that. But then if they told us, well, I have an app on my phone that says every Tuesday at 4 o'clock it goes off and your name showed up, so I called you. And we think to ourselves, well, thanks a lot, man. I mean, my phone goes off and that tells me I got to call you and say thanks. What kind of appreciation is that? That's better than, Bible says, that's better than being appreciative and saying doing nothing. No, I have to remind myself to be thankful. Because you know, you get busy with life. Have you noticed life gets a little busy? You get busy with your life, your time, your day, your stuff, and the things that fill up your time. And the next thing you know, 24 hours goes by and you haven't thanked God for anything, or anybody for anything for that matter. Nothing. We stopped in Sacramento and took my wife's parents out to lunch. And I was standing at the restaurant. It was kind of busy and people were coming and going. I stood there at the door. I do it at every restaurant I go to. I stood at the door. People are coming in. I go, well, welcome to Olive Garden. Hope you enjoy your lunch today. Oh, thank you very much. I see that lady right there. She'll get you a table. I don't work there. They're leaving. Well, how was your lunch? Did we do good today? Good. Thank you very much for coming. Enjoy your day. Thank you. People coming and going. Folks were sitting there waiting. These women were giggling. They were laughing. They said, you do that everywhere you go? I said, everywhere I go. I said, I don't even get tips. I can't tell you how many people just walked in and out of the door and never said a word. Now, them, I shut the door on their foot when they go out. No, just kidding. But they, no, but you know, dear people, so today you say, well, you're preaching on Thanksgiving, so you do it. Yeah, that today was helpful to remind me the design of my thankfulness needed to encompass the fact that I thank God today. But it doesn't take me long. No. To sit down, take a moment, a pause, start to think about the goodness of God in my life. Now, I can offer him thanksgiving. I was thinking about some of our folks today. They have an empty place at their table this year. Somebody was sitting there last year, and they're not there this year. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is there's always reason to be thankful. But you have to have a design for thankfulness, or it gets past you. Something gets missed. It gets past us. We just get on with our lives and forget all about it. That's right. You need to make a concerted effort to be thankful. The Jew had to put his offering together and come and present it to God the way that God wanted it. And it's very important. It should be the design of our lives. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I made a deal with God a long time ago. I will not ask him for anything until I've spent some time thanking him for everything I should. Now, I can't get it all in. There's no way. There have been times I've started my prayer time with the Lord, and I said, now, Lord, I want to spend some time thanking you today, and, oh, I've got these needs for people today, and in my own life and family, just like everybody does. And I start thanking him, and next thing I know, the time that I had set aside for my prayer time was just taken up with thanksgiving. There are times when I just have time of thanksgiving. Lord, I'm not going to ask you for anything today. In this time of my prayer, I just want to spend some time and thank you. Now, you know something, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it blesses the heart of God that his children look up and say, I see some of my children who at least have a desire and design in their life to be thankful. No wonder people are so unhappy and discontented in their lives. You say, well, that's because they need more stuff. No, they need to be thankful for the stuff they have. There needs to be a design there, and there also should be a delight in being thankful. When they brought this offering to the tabernacle or temple later, there was something associated with the joy of being able to do that. You know, sometimes when I go to when I pray and talk to God, I always got to get my heart right with the Lord, every time. Because 24 hours doesn't go by, Mike Johnson doesn't have to get his heart right about something. You too, don't look at me like that. But then, when I start to give him thanks, I thank him for the blessings and the goodness of my life. And then I'm going to start thinking about all the stuff that could have happened that didn't. There's a sweetness about thanksgiving that pleases God. And look at me, it does something to my heart. Now, don't do it just for you. Do it for him. If you don't get anything out of it, then thank God for that. Haven't you ever thanked somebody for doing something for you and you didn't really want them to do it? But just out of courtesy and good manners, you said thank you. Somebody offered you something you didn't want, but you didn't want to be unkind, so you took it. And then when they weren't looking, you threw it in the trash. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of stuff. You thanked it for a delicious meal that was so awful, you would hope you didn't give you ptomaine poisoning. Oh, yeah, I've done that before. Then there's that thanksgiving that's real and genuine in the heart and life. There's a delight to that. As tough as the day has been, or is as tough as the day I'm facing, when I have a time of thanksgiving in my life, it brings a certain joy because I know I'm pleasing God and I'm thanking him. He gets cussed all week long. They use his name in every vile and filthy manner you could possibly imagine, banding his name about in curse words and profanity. It's disgusting today. One more time, they don't do it with Allah, they don't do it with Muhammad, they don't do it with Buddha, they don't do it with the Hindu gods, the 330 million gods, just ours. They use God's name. They got to say, oh, Jesus, and they don't say it with respect. And then when one of his children says, but Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you. And by the way, not just a blanket statement, a specific one. Thank you, I don't live in Los Angeles. Lord, thank you. I get to go home to Redding, California. Thank you, thank you, 10,000 times thank you. Thank you for my life. And you get specific and you thank God. That's important. There should be a delight to us in that. And then lastly, of course, being thankful also should be a thanksgiving that should be declared. When they brought the offering to the temple or tabernacle or the temple, they would tell the priest, I'm here to give this to God to say thank you. And then they would tell the priest what they were thankful for. Then they would thank God, and then they would thank the priest. And it created a thankfulness where it's expressed. Well, God knows I'm thankful. Kind of like that couple in my office one day, been married 35 years or whatever it was. And she said, I don't even know if you love me anymore. And he said, look, I told you I loved you when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. I said, you romantic devil, you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. See, being thankful should become an expression. Now, parents, teach your children to say, please, to get something, thank you, to get it. That's common courtesy. A lot of stuff not going around about that nowadays. That does need to go around. A little common courtesy is always a good thing. And the way you do that, you teach them that is you do it. I have to think a waitress, they're getting paid for what they do. Never insult people in the food industry. I worked in the food industry when I was 12. They're going to be alone in that back room with your food, and they'll make you some secret sauce, bub. Let me tell you that right now. Don't mess with people in the food industry. You go in there and mess with the doctor, he puts the gas on you. You're out. He's in there. It could be trouble. Don't mess with these people. I would highly recommend you be kind to everyone. Expression of appreciation, yes. Of course, now we're good about doing that with people who really don't know them. Then we ignore the people that we live under our roof who do things for us all the time. Say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're talking about thanking God. See, a thankfulness to God pours over into thankfulness to everybody else. You show me someone who shows a proper appreciation to God and expresses that. It's declared. They have a way. It's a part of their prayer life. It's a part of their life. They just thank God for things. That's why when I, the moment ago about the kidding around about the meal, some of you didn't like it. I apologize for that. It doesn't happen until next year. And next year, skip the last Sunday before that. Or come in 35, 40 minutes late and you won't even have to listen to it at all. And I apologize if it kind of made you smile a little bit. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is when I talk about the prayer, just say thank you, Jesus, amen. You know the truth is if that's sincere and genuine, I think he's okay with that. It's better than making up all those words people use when they pray. Oh, thou God of God of gods and God of gods and God of gods and gods and gods. Okay, we got him. Who are you talking to? Oh, thou God of Jehoshaphat and all the fat people. Go to Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and the born boys. You know, they start calling up names in the Bible. They don't even know who these people are. You know, just, hey, you want a good Thanksgiving prayer? Ask a four-year-old. They'll get right to it. Dear Jesus, thank you for the food. Amen. See, that's it right there. And that little one's prayer went to God a lot better than the other guy with all the flowery speeches. Should be declared. Our Thanksgiving should be declared. But you know what? You find somebody who's thankful to God, I'll show you somebody who's thankful to others too. And it should be declared. We ought to develop the regular habit and practice of our lives to express our thankfulness to people and let them know how much we appreciate them. Because see, I found out you can't say thank you to a coffin. They can't hear you. Now, if they're in heaven, they can. They can't hear you. Too late to say thankful when they're laying there in the ER with all the masks and the wires and the tubes and the hoses on. Too late to do much there. They say the last thing that goes before someone dies is their hearing. I believe that. But see, that's not the time to be thankful. See, then you want to do that before then. Now's the time. You want to have a time of Thanksgiving before the Thanksgiving meal? Then get everybody together before the meal, sit down for a moment, say, okay, now before we go and put the food on the table and eat, let's express a thanks today. If you want to do that, fine. But see, Thanksgiving is declared. He brought the offering and he said, I want us to be thankful to God. He's declaring to the priest. He's declaring to God. Others are standing in line saying, that man's a thankful man. That woman's a thankful woman. Isn't that something else? Not for attention, not for appreciation for ourselves, but just that it should be a declare. It should be spoken. When was the last time you thanked anybody for anything? We live in a very selfish, self-centered world today. I don't know. There'll be empty spots at some people's tables today. There'll be empty chairs for us by next year, most likely. I don't know. I heard one of these TV preachers in an article one day said he banished death from his church. He said, nobody died for 10 years. I thought, what, he asked it to come back? We don't know that. Look here. We don't know how long we've got together. So what's wrong with expressing this appreciation and thanks? He said, David said, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed.